maybe like taking a little cup this size or smaller and dipping it out of the ocean. It would make no difference. Things that God knows. But this morning, for an opening scripture, you can, if you care to, may turn and wrote to Romans chapter 11. It says here in verse 33, we could read a lot more, but we're just reading just a few verses regarding this text. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? So whoever sat God down and taught him a thing or two? Nobody. It never happened. And yet there is depth of riches, depth of wisdom, depths of knowledge. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And that's part of what is so fascinating about this subject this morning. If you go over to Isaiah chapter 55, it says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And we start thinking about how much higher God's ways are than our own, or how much deeper they go. Here it's talking about the depths of the wisdom and knowledge of God. There it's talking about how high it is. A brother the other day was talking about looking out at the stars, and then he thought, what's beyond the stars, and how far out do they go? And who and what is beyond that? And God's ways are so much greater and bigger and far beyond our limited comprehension and understanding. And most of us have understood this to be true, thinking about the depths of God's wisdom and knowledge, thinking about the height of his understanding and his thoughts being far beyond our own, but is still, and sometimes it's hard for us to understand God's plan and purpose. What does God have in mind in this? Why did this come around the corner? Why did this happen? Well, some of us never will know in this life. But sometimes we get a little bit of a glimpse of what's happening. Now we want to go into some specifics. And for the first one, let's go to Psalm 103. God knows, number one, thinking out things that God knows our physical composure and our material needs. Our physical composure and our material needs. Psalm 103, and here again, a brother in the home congregation, we were at a retirement home a few Sundays ago, and on Wednesday evening we went to some community folks there. Man is 93 years old, I think. Him and his wife just celebrated their 75th anniversary. Not many people have gotten that far in life, but he and his wife did. And we had and this brother that read the text, he read also from Psalm 103, so it's a bit fresh in my mind. But I was wanting to lift out of here, but specifically verses 13 and 14, thinking about God knowing our composure and our material needs. It says here, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. So you think about God pitying us as his children. At least those that fear him. God having a mercy, God having a compassion toward us in that. And just imagine God sitting there and looking at you this morning, regardless of your name, regardless of your situation in life or your age, God sitting there and, this person has this frame. This person is made of dust. And one day will return to dust if Jesus does not return first. And so God wants to take care of that. And sometimes we forget that. This whole psalm, if you just want to take some time and be inspired, just sit down and read it verse by verse and think about how God's care is for us. Daily loading us with benefits, healing our diseases, redeeming our life from destruction, and so on. But God knows our humanity. And I contend this morning that one of the reasons for which God sent Jesus to be born as a babe of the Virgin Mary, I contend that one reason that God became flesh is so that He as God incarnate could identify with man and learn who man is and be with man. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And then we think about Pentecost, God in us. So God's presence through His Holy Spirit is with His people even now. And we're going to see a bit more of this in some of the further points. Matthew chapter 6 verse 8 says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him." You know, and sometimes we forget that too. We come walking into a situation, just kind of catches us off guard. We weren't ready for this one. But God knew it before we asked Him about it. He knew it was coming. And it's one of the blessings of living by faith, because when we live by faith, God knows what's around the next corner. And we just need to trust in Him for one day at a time, one step at a time, if you please. Because that's really all we can do. That's all we can go. If you go over to Matthew chapter 6 and the verses 25 to 34, there's something we see there too. And I'm very, very impressed when I think about it, that God is so very, very concerned and very aware of the material needs that we have, the physical needs that we have. Nothing escapes His attention. But it has to do with things that God knows. There again, take the time to read that. Think about it. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Several weeks ago, I was out in our small acreage there. We don't have very much land, but I was mowing with our tractor and mower, and I saw some of the most beautiful wildflowers, and we have a little array of them out there. And you know, they went under the blade of the bush hog, okay? But those flowers grow anywhere on the continent, anywhere that they are, and God takes care of them. And they live for their time, and there's multitudes of flowers that grow that human eyes never see. But God watches over them where they are, and He takes care of the birds and the animals, and all the way from the tropics to the Arctics. And if how much more does He watch after those who call upon His name? God has an awareness of this. And we don't need to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow takes thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't borrow tomorrow's trouble. Ask God for grace just for today. And when tomorrow comes, God's grace will be sufficient then as well. God is interested in our physical and material needs, and He knows that we need these things. And it is good for us to pray to Him and ask Him to meet these needs as they arise in our lives. Because we don't know what's coming. But as it comes, we can talk to God about it. Our children also should learn to bring needs to God. And this they learn best by the example of us as older ones. Children have a lot more faith than us adults do. Do you know that? You know, with my mother's experience here, someone said that you should have heard little Chadwin praying for Grandma. And Chadwin's probably, what is he, between 2 and 3 years old. And his way of expressing it would never be the same as a 20-year-old talking about to God about the same thing, but he cared about it just as much. Because he has faith. Jesus says in Matthew 18, those little ones believe. And if you got a big problem at your house, let one of the children pray about it. If you don't have enough faith, let them pray about it. They can pray for you. And their mind goes so much beyond. And that's why we need to learn to live by faith. But by the same token, dear brothers and sisters, this morning, we need to be faithful in thanking Him for the many things we do receive. What would happen if tomorrow, the only things you would have are the things you thank God for today? just a challenge to us and to myself to be thankful. Live a grateful and contented life by the grace and help of God. Number two, God knows who His children are. God knows who His children are. Things that God knows. 2 Timothy 2:19 says something to this effect. But the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Do you believe this morning that God knows you? This ought to be a great consolation to us. Our Heavenly Father knows who His children are. He knew who Daniel was. He knew who David was. He knew who Hannah was. He knew the saints down through the ages. He knew where Peter was when he was incarcerated. He knew what happened to James whenever he was slaughtered there in the book of Acts. He knew and knows. He knows who His children are. And God knows in 2023 who and where His children all are. Regardless of their geographic location, regardless of what their needs are in life, or what family they came from, it matters not. God knows who His children are. He's very, very, very aware. They are not forgotten in life and in the hour of death or at the end of the age. They will not be missed. Jesus tells us that whenever the trumpet sounds and the dead shall be raised, He said He'll send His angels and gather His people from the four winds of the earth. And no one will be missed. He knows where they're at. Up to date. He knows where all the graves are, whether they were buried at sea, whether they were burned at the stake, whether they were martyred, or whether they died a natural death and were buried in some church cemetery. None will be missed, because God knows. The Lord knoweth them that are His. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Has God heard from you today yet? Will He hear from you yet today? Have you opened His Word? Someone has said that when we read the Bible, God talks to us. When we pray to God, we talk to God. If you want God to speak to you out loud, read the Bible out loud. It's pretty clear that way. There's not very much doubt that way about what God is saying. Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." This morning, God does know where you are. Do you know God? Are you trusting in Him today? The sad part of this, and it's kind of looking at it from the opposite angle, there are those who are deceived today into thinking that God knows them, but He doesn't know them. The Bible is pretty clear about that. Not everyone that saith, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And in this point, I do want to give us a caution in this specific thought. Because many people today have sacrificed, on the one hand, they laid aside a Bible principle, a New Testament principle that God has clearly designed and portrayed in His Word as a commandment for to keep, a decree for to keep, if you please. They have sacrificed that on one hand, and yet on the other hand, suddenly, out of nowhere, they start speaking in tongues, and they have this manifestation of miracles and things that are happening. Beware. If we are sacrificing and laying aside biblical command on one side, the devil is good at inventing counterfeits. Stuff that's not true, but that looks very religious and highly active. And attention-grabbing stuff. And we think we still have the real Holy Spirit within. Let's be careful. And many, many friends and loved ones and dear acquaintances have gone down that road. They feel that God's still right active in their lives, but they've sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed Bible teaching. And yet the counterfeits of the evil one are great. But God knows those that are His. Does He know you? Does He know me? It's a question for us to consider. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Number three, God knows our works and the true condition of our hearts and minds. If you go over to the book of Revelation and you read chapter 2 and chapter 3, seven times, once to each of the seven churches, once to each of the seven churches, God makes this statement, I know thy works. I just went through there yesterday morning and I made sure that I had all those spots underlined, highlighted. I know thy works. And God could walk among the benches here this morning and anyone else that attends this service and anyone that goes to Plainview Baptist or Simmons Chapel Church of Christ or wherever they gather for worship or whatever their denomination is and whether they're Christians or whether they're not. But God knows their works and yours and mine as well. God knows the true condition of our hearts and minds. God knows our secret works. God knows the things that are not good in our works, in our thoughts. God knows the unseen things. God knows our individual works, which you as a person are doing for the kingdom of God. And He knows our congregational activities as well. This is very interesting because at the same time, there are a handful of people who maybe live a hypocritical life and they try to look so good on a Sunday morning worship service or whenever they have to be around certain people, they live a decent life. But whenever they're in the workplace or whenever they're at 11:30 on whatever viewing habits they have, they're a totally different person. And that's one kind of works that are hidden that will one day be brought to light and regardless God knows it. But there's another thing. Hidden works that Jesus talks about almsgiving. He says, let not your right hand know what your left hand doeth, or left hand know what your right hand doeth, I think it is. God sees who gives something here and something there. God sees that card that maybe you sent to somebody, an invalid or someone like that. Secret things, little things. Maybe no one else found out about it. But those words of cheer, that blessing, that encouragement that went to somebody. You didn't tell it. You didn't publish it on the Tennessean. It wasn't on the front page, but God saw it. And one day those works of quietness and alms and care and love will be rewarded. The meal you made for somebody, the plate of cookies or the loaf of bread that was left in the front seat of your vehicle. You don't know where it even came from sometimes. Yeah. God knows it. It does not lose its reward. The secret prayer. It could be at midnight when you're rocking that baby to sleep that just won't calm down. Ah, oh, my dear friends, prayer. It could be watching over the bed of that little one that has a fever. Remember one of our boys one time broke his wrist in a little accident he had. And he was lying there in the study. We had a couch in there and I was studying. And that boy, as he was lying there, I heard the what in Dutch, or German we'd call, low German we'd call gnarxing with those teeth because it wasn't feeling good. And yet he was too tired to be awake, and he just, the near of his teeth. He knew right well that there was a sign, and you can just pray for him. He'd never find out what happened. When you go to that bedside of that sleeping child and say, God, help us with this young life to take care of this one. Take care of that one. Maybe there was a little bit of a discipline session you need to work with, and your heart's heavy about how it was going. And then you see them in bed. Talk to God about them. That struggling teenager. Talk to God about him. Secret prayers. They one day will be rewarded. Many other things. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And Jesus, as he walked the earth, wasn't pushed around by the ebb and flow of the popularity or lack of it. He knew the hearts of man. And you know what? He still does. God knows the heart of man. And he knows your heart. And he knows my heart this morning. Not far from this passage, and back in Luke 16, verse 15, it says, he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And if this morning our heart and mind is set on things that are an abomination in the sight of God, God knows it. But if our heart is intent on serving him, if we're intent on departing from iniquity and living for the Lord Jesus, God knows that as well. God knows the true condition of our hearts. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, again and again and again, he said, Jesus knew, knowing their hearts, said unto them. And Jesus, knowing what the question was, that a little discrepancy among them, Jesus said unto them, because he knows their hearts and minds. But he has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And go over to the book of Acts, wherever they appointed that apostle to replace Judas Iscariot. They had the choice of Matthias and the other one. The name slips from my mind at the moment, but it doesn't matter. It says in there, they prayed before they cast the lot and said, God, you who know the hearts. And God knows the hearts. And that's a study of its own, the God who knows the hearts. And he still knows ours today. There's nothing hidden from his presence or his knowledge. For the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can you imagine the difference between the thoughts and the intentions of your heart? And that one catches me sometimes. But God knows it. It's precise and black and white clear in the eyes of Almighty God, the difference between our thoughts and our intentions. The dividing between the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. Think of it this morning. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. We talked a little earlier about prayer. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. This is looking at it from a little different point of view. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. We were talking a little bit ago about prayer. Have you ever gotten to a point in life when the road was dark enough and your emotions were in such a state that you didn't know what in the world to ask God for? Should we pray for healing, or should we pray that God would quietly take this person home to glory? Should we pray for $10,000 to fall out of the sky and take care of our financial needs, or should we ask God to just give us a little more wisdom to be careful in our finances and so on? Should we pray that God would provide us with another vehicle, or what should we do? And many times we get to those points in life. But you know what? If we have an open heart before the Lord, we might simply kneel down and say, "Oh God, here I am. Do what you need to do. Help us where you need to help us. Give us the grace we stand in need of right now." And in that moment, we might find an answer is on the way for the whatever question it is. But the Holy Spirit, who knows the hearts, can make intercession before the throne of God on our behalf. You know, when you start thinking about the intercessory work, and this isn't my subject exactly, but it ties right in. Who is Jesus again? On the right hand of the Father, he ever liveth to make what for us? To make intercession for us. And you know, we need that sometimes. With the journey of life as it is, he ever liveth. And then you start thinking about verses like these that we just read. He that knows your heart and knows the heart of the Father and knows how to connect divine power with our earthly need, things can happen and answers can come, because God's way will be our way at the end of that. I feel that God, through His Spirit, can guide and direct our prayers and intercessions according to His perfect will. Number four, God knows His plans and purposes for our lives. Back to those verses in Isaiah 55. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Back to those verses. God sees our lives from an eternal perspective. All the past, all the present, all the future of your life and mine, and all of God's people, and all that is happening and has happened in human history, all of that before God is a continuous reality. God knows the past better than we know the present. God knows the past and the future better than we know the present, because He sees a whole lot more than we do. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows. The way of the righteous can be seen from at least two angles. If you go over to the book of Acts, you read the phrase, "the way." Apostle Saul, when he was on his way to Damascus, I think it is in that passage, among others, that says he was persecuting those of the way. Are you on that way this morning? Do you know what that way is? Am I walking that way? God knows if we're walking the way. It's another study you can maybe do sometime. The way. But there's another way that we can talk about this morning, and this is more what I have in mind, and that is the path of life that we walk through life. The diverse set of circumstances, the experiences, the trials, the times of discipline, the joys and the sorrows that compose our walk of life. In all of this, we as believers can see sooner or later a measure of divine orchestration of events. Some of these things are better seen in retrospect. How many times have you been in the middle of a situation and you said, "How in the world did I get all the way to here?" And it makes absolutely not a bit of sense. And sometimes, you go down the road 4 or 5 years and you look back and say, "You know what? God was really faithful in that experience. God knew right what He was doing. He had a perfect plan." But you know what? There's another factor in this whole thing, and that is that some of these realities will never, ever be known to us in this life. We'll never know what, why, how. We'll never know it all. But never forget the words of the patriarch Job when he said, He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Counseling with a dear friend in these days, I've told him probably more than once, I said, my dear friend, just remember, if you allow God by these experiences in your life to make you a better person and not a bitter person, that will happen. If you allow God to make you a better person and more conformed to the image of Christ and more like Jesus in your thoughts and intentions and words, more like Him, when you are tried, you'll come out as good as gold. Have you ever seen a person that's been through this and been through that and been through the next thing? You say, how in the world can they handle all that? And yet their spirit is more godly and more docile and more contrite and more humble because of it. That can happen in our lives because God knows His plans and purposes. There's a famous verse, and I think it's often misrepresented, out of Jeremiah 29:11. You know the thoughts that I have toward you. It says there, thoughts to bring you to an expected end. I could quickly turn there. And sometimes people have their own agenda and have this idea that I'm going to orchestrate my life and figure it all out, and then God's going to somehow tack a benediction on it. Not exactly. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I realize this has a context, and I know it's often misinterpreted, but God knows the way that you take and the way you're on. And God has plans and purposes for your life. God's way is best, if human wisdom a fair way may seem to show. 'Tis only that our earth-dim vision, the truth, can never fully know. God's way is best, I will not murmur. Although the end I may not see, where'er He leads, I'll meekly follow. God's way is best for me. Is God's way best for you this morning? And I preach to myself when I preach to you. The fifth thing I want to look at this morning, God knows how to deliver His people from sin and from temptation. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But what's the next words? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And in the temptation, there will be a way of escape. I was thinking about this. Brother Joe didn't know that we were going to mention this verse here, but it says in 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And of course, you probably don't know the Spanish very well, but in that one it says deshacer las obras del diablo, which means tear apart the works of the devil. And I just love to think about that. He's got him all bound up. The sinner's in the depths of sin and vice and evil things. But the Lord knows how to tear apart the works of the devil. He knows how to. Believe it this morning. For a good reason, God asks His people, as He teaches us the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because He knows how to. Praise God. He knows how to deliver us from evil. Remember, as about a sixth grader, we went to Franklin Marshall College in Lancaster City. And the reason we were there was to see a planetarium. And I don't know why this remains so vividly with me, but I just still remember being a 12-year-old person, perhaps, somewhere around there. I remember this fella in the Franklin Marshall College and showing us the constellations. He said, I want to remind you of something today. He says, the Bible says that God with His fingers made the stars and the planets and the sun and the constellations and all that's out there, the galaxies. But he said, I want to remind you something else. He says, whenever God wants to rescue a sinner, he uses his arm. There's another Bible study for you, dear friends. Study what the arm of the Lord can do. When you start thinking about it, when the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, when he knows how to keep us from evil and present us faultless before the presence of his glory, how's that? Yes, to keep us from evil and keep us from sin, to rescue us from sin, he uses a little divine muscle, praise God. To deliver a sinner from the devil's hell, he uses some divine force. Do we know what that is in our lives? God with his fingers made the stars, but with his arm he brings salvation. We are no match for our enemy, but God can handle him. And in case you were worried, we want to look at one more point. And that is, God knows when he will return. God knows when he will return. And this is a consolation for us, because the Bible teaches us clearly that the times and seasons are not for us to know, but they're in the Father's hand. And he didn't forget it, just in case we thought he did. I'm just going to read a few confirmations of this promise from the book of Matthew, first of all, chapter 24 and verse 36, where it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24 now and verse 42 saith, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. What did it say in 36? But of that day and that hour, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Mark chapter 13, verse 32 and 33. Mark 13, verse 32 and 33. It says here, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. You don't know when the time is. Psalm 139, in its closing passages, we bring this to a close this morning. I just like to encourage us to think about the God we've talked about this morning, the God who knows these things and so much more. Let's just think about it this morning as we read some verses here. Psalm 139, verse 1. Lord, thou hast known, hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my thoughts. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eye did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. When you think of the things that God knows, and a few of the points we looked at, and a lot more we should have looked at or could have, Let's just remember that God has very personal awareness of each of our lives. And He cares a lot about us more than we ever know. So with all that in mind, maybe we'll just conclude this morning, if you have your Bible open there, to Psalm 139. Let's read the last two verses together and let God speak to us and let us pray to Him this prayer. All together, Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And you know, if we're in the way everlasting, if we follow the steps of the Good Shepherd, one day those footsteps will end at His throne. We sang that song on Wednesday night at that old couple's house, Footprints of Jesus. Footprints of Jesus. And it talks about the places where Jesus went as He walked His earthly journey. And then it says in one of those verses, we shall rest where the steps of Jesus end at His throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. And I trust that's our experience because of things that God knows and provisions He has made for us. Those who care to, kneel for prayer. Dear God, our Father, we thank and praise You this morning because You alone are worthy. We thank You, Father, for the things that You know and things that are much, much, much beyond what we know. And yet, Father, we know that Your word is faithful and true. Your name, O Jesus, is faithful and true. And help us, Lord, to trust and not be afraid. Trust and have faith in a great big God and put a tiny, tiny faith, even though it be as small as a grain of mustard seed, in that great God that You are. Your omniscience, Your omnipotence, Your omnipresence, O Father. Help us to trust in that and really believe that in the dark scenes of life, You are still God. You're still in the throne. You care for Your own. And You know how to take care of our material needs, our emotional needs, our physical needs, and our spiritual needs, O Father. We thank You for that and pray that You would guide us and direct us through the remainder of this day. And help us to live in harmony with Your perfect will and by love serve one another. Bless this congregation in the needs and challenges that they face. And Lord, may Your will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.